Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Please go support free speech by donating to RBN at republicbroadcasting.org. And support a non-kosher certified lifestyle by going to nationalbugle.com. You can read all of the great headlines from Mark Dankoff, and while you're at it, download the Kosher-certified app and lead a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. Mark Dankoff, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on. We have all kinds of things to discuss on the big board throughout the show, and one of the things that I did on Twitter today with obvious tongue-in-cheek was to announce that you were going to be on RBN in this time slot, and that our guests were going to be Franklin Graham, John Hagee, Bill Hybels, Ghislaine Maxwell, Donald Trump, and Bill Clinton, and the topic was going to be biblical revival in America is necessary before the 2020 elections. Now, all of those people canceled at the last minute, so I guess we're back to our usual show. But for those of you who have tuned in, wanting to hear straight from all of these luminaries about the spiritual condition of America, I'm sure we'll be bringing them back very soon.
Indeed. Well, we've been talking a lot about the Epstein case. I think that this could be the thing that brings down the whole house of cards, but it's not as if it's the only thing that's fun or interesting to look into. Where would you like to start?
Well, we certainly could go in all kinds of directions, including the Epstein case. And I were discussing this on Rents Radio yesterday, and I'm sure there's still plenty more to discuss in regard to the Epstein case and the recent sighting of Ghislaine Epstein in Southern California at an In-N-Out Burger. Reading some interesting,
very aptly named. In-N-Out.
Yeah, that was not an attempt on humor on my part. I just realized when I said that although that's exactly where she was, you could have that. That's kind of in the Ed Butt
we'll
category.
Leave that to the late night talk show comedians.
Yeah, right. We'll leave that to those guys. But all kinds of other things to discuss, including with the Epstein case. Interestingly enough, RT reports today that more than two-thirds of the American public does not believe that Epstein committed suicide. I suggested that the other one-third pick the Washington Redskins to win the Super Bowl this year. But at any rate, that's out there.
Certainly. Oh, do the Redskins have a good team this year?
No, they stink. They've lost two preseason games in a row, and they were beaten by the Cincinnati Bengals last night. So, no, the obvious implication is that if you believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, you're the person who might be talked into believing that the Washington Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe Jeffrey Epstein was broken out of prison so that he can be the quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
That could be. He could have taken over the ownership and done a better job.
Wasn't that what Burt Reynolds did in The Longest Mile or something like that?
The Longest Yard?
The Longest Yard. And then there was a Sylvester Stallone movie about, it was kind of a Holocaust Nazi movie where he and Pele led a group of POWs to defeat the German Nazi national team in soccer. And didn't you ever see that?
No, I didn't see that one. No, I
not Sylvester Stallone's best movie, especially seeing as he can't play soccer.
Yes, and the propagandistic character of the movie, I think, is pretty clear. But nonetheless, talking about this whole business of the big board, we have some stories that we have blogged up there before the broadcast began. Here's one that just came out, seriously, from the U.S. From the U.K. Daily Mail. It's entitled, Russian Spy Plane Spotted Over the U.S. Midwest in Surveillance of Strategic Assets in Hawaii. Now, when I read that, and I thought, if they've been spotted in the Midwest, how are they photographing anything in Hawaii? But the article goes on to say that this special flight of this Russian plane is, in fact, covered under some sort of a mutual treaty between the United States and Russia. Or since we violate their airspace all the time, we allow them to violate ours once in a while. But at any rate, this plane apparently took off from Dayton, Ohio, where I graduated from high school, by the way. I presume it's from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton. Then it was sighted over greater Chicagoland And I noted on our big board that I went to both college and seminary in the greater Chicagoland area. And finally, this Russian plane made its way to Hawaii, where it was taking a lot of photographs, supposedly of Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii, where I lived when I was in high school in Hawaii.
So, maybe they're doing Mark Dankoff, This Is Your Life.
It's either Mankoff, This Is Your Life, or I said rather facetiously on our big board that CNN reports on the basis of this Daily Mail exclusive on the aerial Russian Chicago, Dayton, Chicagoland, Honolulu route that Dankoff is working for Vladimir Putin in keeping LGBTQ bars and political assets under surveillance in the United States.
If you're working for Vladimir Putin, do you think you could put a good word in for me and I could get a job there?
Yes, I'll put in a good word for both of us if we get a job with him, because we're not making it right now, that's for sure. But nonetheless, I have some incredible footage which Russian intelligence has just sent to me via Skype for this show, where we got some great aerial photos of Don Lemon of CNN in New York, and also some exclusives of Pete Buttigieg in South Bend. So the Russians are right on top of this sort of thing. And, of course, the Daily Mail is reporting what we have not seen anywhere yet in the American media, and that is that the Russians are keeping an eye on Dayton and Chicago and Honolulu. So
Did you notice the headline I put on the big board at nationalbugle.com under other news? Right now it's the second article under other news. CNN's Don Lemon sued for alleged sexual harassment of a man in New York bar.
Yes, and I put up my comment on this Russian aerial surveillance with that story in mind. As Dr. Slattery has just told all of us, go to that story from Russia Today on CNN's Don Lemon, who has now been sued for alleged sexual harassment of a man in a New York bar. This gets back to what an old, no longer living Christian editor once said to me on the telephone in a very sarcastic tone of voice, when as more and more of these kinds of aberrational things began to come out in American society and in American media, he said to me, you know, I miss the good old days in an old, better, more moral America, where the worst thing you ever read about was some guy being involved with his secretary who was of age. Now we've deteriorated.
Oh my God. So yeah. Just staying on the topic of CNN anchors,
yes.
Of course, Chris Cuomo, a.k.a. Fredo, did you see the video clip of him going ballistic on some guy who was trying to get his autograph, I guess?
Yes, I did see it. And you really have to wonder about these guys, both in terms of their rather inflated view of themselves, as well as all of the news they routinely either don't report, that is the real news, or the routine lies that they tell in trying to spin tales in regard to something that's real news.
Yeah.
As I said on Duke's show on Rents yesterday, it was amazing to me, just in scanning what people were putting up on Twitter, to discover that some of these MSNBC and CNN people were actually trying to spin the line that the Jeffrey Epstein story, both in terms of his pedophilia ring and in terms of his rather untimely demise, quite likely points to Vladimir Putin and Russia.
Yeah, so, what a retard.
Yeah, it's just absolute absurdity when everything obviously points in the direction of Israel and Mossad, as Philip Giraldi has pointed out, as Gordon Thomas and Martin Dillon told us in the exclusive book on the late Robert Maxwell, the UK Daily Mirror chief, who was, as they put it in the title of their book, Israel's Super Spy. So with all the people that surround Epstein and all of his political connections, and of course this cryptic reference of the of Mr. Acosta, just relieved of his job as the U.S. Labor Secretary, Mr. Acosta, when he was, of course, the federal prosecutor in Miami, gave a sweetheart deal to Epstein and tried to defend himself by saying that he had been told to lay off because of Epstein's intelligence connection.
Quote. Yeah, talk about a sweetheart deal. I mean, I get these junk callers to my house offering me vacation deals that aren't as sweet as what this guy got, and I'm not even being facetious.
Exactly. And I think
he got a lot better than a timeshare, that's for sure.
That's right. And I think this gets back to what I know you believe and a number of other very thoughtful people believe. And that is that the real story with this Epstein-Maxwell thing is that it reveals not only something fundamentally cancerous about the so-called American elite, but for anyone who isn't brain dead, the character of that American elite and its primary composition, its primary funding, its primary way of business, all points to Zionist State of Israel and points to the Israeli Mossad, and the way in which I think Philip Giraldi has the inside story on this as an intelligence professional, former CIA station chief in a couple of countries, that on the basis of what we know, everything points to Epstein certainly as having been working for the Mossad, and that in Epstein's own world of sick pedophilia and evil, being assisted by Ghislaine Maxwell, again, whose father Robert Maxwell was a known Mossad agent and asset, that this business of procuring underage kids for these sexual perverts in the American elite had, of course, two motives. One was profit. Epstein was allegedly worth literally billions, I believe, at the time of his rather untimely death. The other thing, of course, is that with what has emerged, according to Philip Giraldi, in regard to the very extensive...
Hello?
Yes.
We got cut off for just a second.
Oh, okay.
But with regard to the very extensive... That's where I didn't hear you. It was after the word.
Well, I was basically saying that Giraldi was talking about the fact that the very extensive taping and recording equipment that Epstein employed in taping all these sicko sessions that took place on Pedophile Island and in his pad in New York and all of this other business, quite obviously were a classic way in which a state intelligence agency, in this case, most likely the Mossad, was stepping into the picture to use all of Jeffrey Epstein's collected materials to blackmail high-level American politicians and high-level American media figures and high-level people in the central banking system of the United States to make sure that everything would go Israel's way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the real truth of this matter is. And whether or not the American public will figure out the obvious remains to be seen. And of course, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, and everyone else is working overtime to bury that. Although it is hilarious, as Duke pointed out yesterday in his show on Rents, even the Washington Post admits that the character of the broken bones in Jeffrey Epstein's neck is usually not consistent with someone who has killed himself, but with someone who has been strangled by a second or third party. So in this particular case, even the Washington Post is letting it slip show in regard to the fact that the autopsy reveals the nature of Epstein's injuries not being consistent at all with what we really think of as a bona fide suicide case.
Well, because there are people at the Washington Post who are under the the misunderstanding that they were hired as journalists, and so they're trying to do their jobs. And I guess it takes a while for them to fully realize that they're not journalists, but they're propagandists. Now, the main thing about this Epstein case is that it is some sort of front operation, some sort of operation for the Mossad and their Zionist allies around the world to exercise control over American politics and other aspects of American society. That's the main thing. Now, this is not the main thing, but it is something that I emphasize. I don't think that all of these people, maybe some of these people, I don't think all of these people were just pedophiles and Epstein was catering to their predilections. I think in a lot of cases that people were going into this knowing that they were supplying Epstein and his backers in the Mossad with blackmailable material as part of a quid pro quo where they would be supported in their quest for higher office or whatever it was that they were seeking Mossad help for, and that sex with young girls is, out of all of the things that are blackmailable, it's probably what is to the average middle-aged man, least distasteful compared to the other things that one might have to do. That, you know, you hear about, even the Bohemian Grove, the homosexuality. And, of course, nowadays, homosexuality probably wouldn't even be blackmailable. It would probably be, so what?
Yes, I think that's probably right in terms of the change in cultural mores in the United States, whereas certainly 50 years ago plus, if you were a politician, if you were someone in the intelligence community, if you were someone in virtually any walk of life who had a degree of importance that made you particularly susceptible to outside compromise and attack, being uncovered as a homosexual was one of the worst things that could possibly happen to you. And of course, in today's world, arguably, people would shrug and say, so what? You and I might not say that, but I think in American culture particularly, sadly enough, we have gone down a long way. Let me mention a couple of other things on the big board. I don't know what time the break is coming up. I don't have my pie graph.
About 2 minutes.
Okay. Vanessa Bealey today from RT. UK calls for stronger protections for Christians while continuing to support terrorism in Syria. That's Vanessa Bealey today from RT. The late Paul Findlay, who passed away recently at 98. A lot of interesting stories out there about him. We ran this one from Mark Weber's IHR on Findlay's Liberating America from Israel. Puya Ali Magam from the American Conservative has a post we've had up on the big board for a while. Don't underestimate Iran's ability to fight a prolonged bloody war. Daniel Larrison from the American Conservative, we've had that one up there too for some time, driving Venezuela toward famine. The American people, of course, in the midst of this Epstein business and now in the midst of what happened in Dayton and El Paso, and these shooting at these ICE facilities, which we will maybe get into after the break, these are all serious stories that the American public has been somewhat diverted from following. TNA, the New American, has a video out there we posted under Elections and Politics entitled Protesters Threatening and Shooting ICE Facilities. The latest one was right here in San Antonio. I might say something about that after the break. Pat Buchanan has a fascinating piece that we might look at in some detail. Trump bets his presidency on tariffs as recession looms. That's an important piece in the analysis of 2020 coming from Pat Buchanan today. LifeSite News and a guy named Calvin Freiberger has one out there entitled Trump Rule to Nix Obama Order, forcing religious contractors to hire LGBTQ workers. And then, of course, you were there as a covert observer of the events in Charlottesville, Dr. Slattery, several years ago. The UNS Review now has a piece out there entitled Charlottesville After 2 Years, an alt history of what should have happened. So those are all very, very interesting things that maybe after the break we can take a look at.
Okay, well, we will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, you know, we mentioned in the start of the show Don Lemon from CNN and Fredo Cuomo from CNN, who, by the way, is his dad. If people don't remember, his dad was governor of New York and could have had the Democratic nomination for president either maybe 84, certainly in 88. It was his for the taking if he wanted it. He didn't want it. The idea was he probably had mob ties. Of course, Fredo, or Chris Cuomo, as he's also known, certainly was LARPing some sort of mob association in that video. But there's one other CNN presenter who's recently been in the news, and Anderson Cooper was on, I guess he was on, who's that guy, the Univision guy? Jorge Ramos. And So Anderson Cooper was telling Jorge Ramos what a great thing it is that whites are going to be a minority in this country. And it gets me thinking back to the debate over the 1965 Immigration Act, where everybody from the establishment, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, and others were coming in and saying, well, it's not going to change the demographics. And then, of course, when it changed the demographics, well, it's not going to change the culture because everybody's going to come in. They're going to want to be – they're just going to be just like you and I. And then they're not changing the culture. Well, then it's clear they are changing the culture. But that's okay because it's a nice culture, and multicultural is fun. But, of course, it's not. And we got Kamala Harris, for instance. And, now she's saying she wants these new red flag laws – which are in effect in 17 states and may go into effect federally if certain people get their way, that not just mentally ill people, but white nationalists could be red flagged too. She wants to do this. And of course, in her recent debate, brouhaha with Joe Biden, she had a big chip on her shoulder because Joe Biden wouldn't have had, if he had gotten her way, she couldn't have ridden a bus to a school or something retarded like that. But here's the thing, you get some, I mean, like Kamala Harris, okay, who's, both her parents are from third world countries, right? They're both from third world countries. I guess they're post 65. She's born about that time. And she's got this big chip on her shoulder. She's very very anti-white. And so you get somebody like her immigrates here, and you know, she had a very privileged background. Both her parents were professors at Stanford, you know. So it's not like she had a very privileged background. She was lucky that her parents were allowed to come here by the, you know, the graciousness of the white population that was still a 87% majority in America at the time. They let her parents come here. She had a very nice upbringing. And here she is just scolding white people and wanting to take away their guns and take away, you know, give massive reparations to black people for slavery. Where was I going with this? But it's, you know, there's...
Kamala Harris very far with Joe Biden, and the next thing you know, you're down so far underneath the ground that you can't possibly dig out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a reason why I wanted to raise this. I can't exactly remember what it was, but I guess I'm tying it into, you know, Trump, in the Pat Buchanan article, Trump was... his chances revolve around two things. One is the tariff issue, and then the other is who's the Democratic nominee going to be. And with a couple of exceptions, you know, the Democratic nominee may well be somebody who's just going to go off on white supremacy and white nationalism.
Right, and this is where the Kamala Harris story dovetails with Pat Buchanan's piece today for the American Conservative. It's up on the big board. It's entitled Trump Bets His Presidency on Tariffs as a Recession Looms. Now, in regard to Kamala Harris and for that matter, all of these other Democrats running, they are all, as Mr. Buchanan has told us time and time again in various articles he's written, they are all about the business of identity politics. Whether or not you're a queer, whether or not you are a person of color, whether or not you're a woman, whether or not you're a feminist, whether or not you just love abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy and all these other things. But the fact of the matter is that whether you're talking about Harris and all of these other people running in the Democratic Presidential Party primaries, or you're talking about the other side of the political fence, speaking generally of the GOP, no one seems to have an idea as to how to deal with trillion-dollar deficits. No one seems to have an idea as to what we are going to do in regard to these Middle Eastern policies that are getting us closer and closer and closer to a military situation that we shouldn't be in that may go out of control. Now, as it relates to Kamala Harris, I suppose that the best way of contextualizing her, we'll wait until after the break.
Yeah, we'll have to wait until after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice.
After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Talking about that Pat Buchanan article, which was tying Donald Trump's election prospects to the Democratic nominee, but also to his tariff policy and the economy. And I will later have a question about how it might tie into what's going on in Hong Kong. But as you were saying, Mark.
Well, yeah, this is where we get into this whole business of the absurdity, really, of the Kamala Harris thing. And in the present political debate in this country, as it relates to the identity politics of the Democratic Party, whether or not you're queer, having drag queens reading to children in public schools and public libraries, talking about this whole issue of abortion on demand through the ninth month, and all of these other things that seem to characterize the Democratic Party today, that in the identity politics of the culturally Marxist left, which seems to be gaining greater sway in the Democratic Party as we speak, on the other side of the coin, you have a GOP led by Donald Trump that admittedly has some very serious problems. Our foreign policy hijacking by Bolton and Pompeo and by the Zionist lobby is the most obvious. Pat Buchanan, of course, and others have commented up to now about this whole business of the deficits that we're running. We are running now these trillion-dollar deficits, and it's interesting that despite all of this mudslinging back and forth between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and between these various Democratic contenders amongst themselves to see who can be farther to the left than the other, the mudslinging back and forth with the GOP seems to revolve around many of these cultural issues, including the firearms issue now. And these people are screaming all over the place about guns without understanding the deeper causes of gun violence in this country, that did not exist like this in the 1950s, when even more people owned guns per capita than is the case now. Having said all of that, to me, when I listen to Kamala Harris talking about such things as slavery, reparations for slavery, and all of that sort of thing, it not only gets into the humorous character of the fact that I believe it was either, I'm going to say, her great-grandparents who were slave owners, according to something that I read not long ago, but this fundamentally misses a point. And that when you talk about slavery in America today, let's talk about the real slavery, as I wrote about it last year during Martin Luther King Day, when I had a piece entitled Free at Last in the American Warfare, Welfare, Surveillance, Perversion State. The fact of the matter is, when we understand who runs that state, the true character of the elite that keeps this sick system fueled, this has little, if anything, to do with race, as far as black versus white, or black versus white versus Hispanic, or queer versus straight, or any of these other things that the Democrats like to major in when it comes to framing an election, or framing debate for a so-called debate for a future presidential election. It has everything to do with the fact that the Jewish elite that provably runs this country, whose identity has been exposed once again, however briefly, despite the attempts of mainstream media to put that genie back in the bottle, the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell tragedy underscores the fact that it is a Jewish elite that runs this country, and that it is a Jewish elite which uses sick situations and sick assets like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell to do their bidding, and making sure that other powerful people in the United States government and news media, educational circles, banking, and so forth and so on, do whatever it is they want done, via blackmail, obviously, being just one way in which they operate. And so when you look at this whole situation, quite clearly, this debate, if you want to call it a debate, within the Democratic Party, or this mudslinging between the GOP and the Democrats that's taking place right now on issues like guns, which I think is an important issue. Don't misunderstand me. I'm a patron member of the NRA. I'm a life member of the Texas State Rifle Association. I take the Second Amendment very seriously. But in the larger scope of things, in regard to the possibility of igniting a third world war over the Strait of Hormuz, because BB thinks it would be a great idea for the United States to attack Iran while doing nothing about the Palestinian genocide, and Trump aiding and abetting the Israeli takeover of East Jerusalem and the occupied territories and all the rest of it, these machinations that NATO continues to undertake ever closer to Putin's borders, his western borders and his southern borders. We're not really talking about all of this too much right now. We're talking and slinging mud at one another, it would seem, in terms of these mainstream political figures, both of the political parties of the United, major political parties of the United States. And I think Pat Buchanan's piece gets into this, where he's talking about the fact that Trump's reelection hinges on the state of the economy in 2020 and the identity of the Democratic nominee. I would add a third thing that Pat doesn't mention here, whether or not Trump is going to ignite a wider war on behalf of greater Israel. That would be the other thing that ought to be in there, certainly. But the further left the Democrats go to select their candidate, Pat says, the greater the probability that Trump wins a second term. And then Pat goes on to talk about the good news that Trump got this week in terms of the verbal flubs and gaffes of Joe Biden that have now, according to Buchanan, reached critical mass. And as you read through this whole issue of the news in the United States, they certainly see Biden, says Pat Buchanan, as the best hope of bringing Trump down. But they're now showing signs of alarm over just how many gaffes and mistakes Joe Biden.
Yeah, and he's always been a gaffe machine.
Always has been. Mm-hmm. Always has been. And yet, as Buchanan points out, if Biden stumbles and falls before next spring, it's almost a certain bet. A Democratic candidate, he says, and the party platform will be outside the American mainstream. Buchanan goes on to say, consider what the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, AOC Democrats have on offer. A Green New Deal with government jobs for all, net zero carbon emissions, Medicare for all, including migrants here illegally, free tuition at state schools, forgiveness of most or all of $1.5 trillion in student debt, $1 trillion of infrastructure, a $15 minimum wage, reparations for slavery. Pat doesn't even touch the fact that the a Democrat-controlled House went right along with Donald Trump in these massive increases. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the number of Democrats that are in the back pocket of the Zionist lobby is quite an interesting thing to study, especially as there is now a major debate that is emerging in the Democratic Party over this whole business of being rabidly pro-Zionist. And that's a major fissure that Pat doesn't mention in this article. That's something else that I think we should mention on this show. It's going to be very, very interesting to watch in the Democratic Party how this Israel debate plays out when it comes to the fact that the Democratic Party's machine is overwhelmingly financed with disproportionate amounts of Jewish money. Mm-hmm. And based upon the pro-Zionist foreign policy in both of the major political parties, especially in the Democratic Party up to this point, how does that play out with these people now like Tlaib and Omar and some of the things, at least, that Bernie Sanders has said? It's going to be quite interesting to watch. Will this cause a significant defection of Jews who don't find Donald Trump at all palatable on social issues, who nonetheless might be tempted to vote for him if, in fact, they perceive that their control of the foreign policy of the United States through the Democratic Party is increasingly at risk, possibly anyway, if one of these far left people gets nominated. But
yeah. And of course, when you say vote, you're really talking more about support and financial support, because the Jews don't have that many votes. They're Jewish.
Exactly.
Not that decisive, but their money's decisive. And of course, the Jewish money has been largely behind the Democrats, but increasingly over the past couple decades, as the as neoconism became mainstream within the GOP, so they've got that. I think that the Democrats and Republicans traditionally have, at least during most of my political lifetime, you've had the Democrats are charged with the domestic aspect of the Jewish agenda, which is what you could call cultural Marxism, and increasingly now massive immigration. And the Republicans had been charged with, at least for a while, with the foreign policy, these wars. And you think of George, the two Bushes, and these Zio wars that they pursued. At the end of the Cold War, I think the Cold War during its waning days was also kind of a neocon priority, just as now anti-Russiaism. But of course, the anti-Russiaism is centered more within the Democratic Party now. So they're having shifting roles. And these two, Tlaib and Omar, these two congresswomen, they have a lot of support within elements of the Democratic Party because they're so anti-white. And at least with Omar, maybe not as much with Tlaib because she's of Palestinian extraction, but they're anti Israelism is, and anti-Semitism to the extent that it exists, is basically just anti-whiteism. They view, I think, especially Omar just views Jews as whites, and therefore they're kind of an enemy too.
And as the last output, and they're thinking, I think they see Israel as the last major example of white colonialism.
Right.
I think that's exactly right in the way that they view that lens. They don't see at all that the anti-New World Order, anti-Zionist right, that doesn't like their social views at all and resents having this country deliberately demographically targeted is not pro-Israel either. The other thing that's quite fascinating about these congresswomen is the extent to which, if you start looking at what we know of their patterns right now in their belief systems and their voting, they are quite far to the left on some of these social issues that the Democrats hold so dear to their Marxist hearts. So that's yet another fascinating aspect of this whole thing, claiming to, in fact, represent a traditional Islamic voice that they claim should have a much greater voice and a much more legitimate voice demographically and otherwise in the United States than they have already with the foothold that they've established. And yet when it comes to some of the things that they believe about LGBTQ and abortion and all of this other business, it's an extremely contradictory coalition, it seems, lining up on different sides of this issue, these issues. But it gets back to me, not only to what I said during MLK Day last year here in San Antonio, the issue of the American warfare, welfare, surveillance, decadence state, but perversion state, but it also gets into the economics of all of this. We are running $1 trillion deficits a year now. Both of the major parties had a role to play in another major jacking upward of American so-called defense spending. When you start looking at some of the laundry list of things that the far left of the Democratic Party is proposing, should they win the presidency and should they increase their numbers in the House, possibly even take over the Senate, I think Adrian Krieg figured out that they would add, I'm trying to remember what he said today on Eurofolk Radio, he had done some math on this, they would at least add a few trillion dollars in federal spending in their first year in the reins of power if they were to get their way in terms of what they're saying. Now, Buchanan goes on in this piece here that we've referenced from the American Conservative to talk about the fact that obviously there is a slowdown in the American economy. The Dow Jones average plunged 800 points this past Wednesday, capping a loss of 7% of its value in weeks. Capital is flooding out of the equity markets into the shelter of bonds. The German economy is growing at its slowest pace in 17 years. The problems in Britain and Hong Kong, Pat references here, our growth has slowed down considerably in the second quarter. And then when you start looking at Trump's own disapproval ratings, according to the news survey released a couple of days ago, that's risen 56%, a 5-point jump from July. And then as you start reading through this whole issue of the China trade impasse, Buchanan believes at this particular juncture that this is where Trump has bet his entire presidency on what Pat calls a historic gamble. Reading this one paragraph here, Trump seeks to throw out a trade policy that rooted in 19th century ideology rather than U.S. national interests, threw open American markets to the world and produced over three decades $12 trillion in trade deficits and a loss of 70,000 factories in 5 million manufacturing jobs. Now, obviously the weapon Pat says that Trump is using to stop this looting is tariffs, the price of admission into the U.S. market to replace the free passes foreign nations and transnational companies have had to produce abroad and sell into the United States. And he is betting his presidency, Pat says, on the fact that he can pull this off. So there you have it in a nutshell. I think this is pretty good analysis of 2020. The thing that I think he, Pat, did not mention in this piece is that the other question of the survivability of Trump, and for that matter, the survivability of the United States in any legitimate form, hangs in the balance in regard to this, whether or not we are actually brought by the Israelis into another war in the Middle East, a much wider war that we have no business at all being involved in.
So I have a question, and so regarding the tariffs, I'll have to ask when we come back.
Very good.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSite Bonus. Those who are now FrontSite members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSite, made a gracious exception to his no-media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSite, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
We are back, and I guess we're still discussing Pat Buchanan's premise that Trump's re-election is going to depend on two things. You added a third thing, but the tariff issue and the trade issue, which is tied into the economy, and then who the Democrats wind up nominating. And, you know, we often paint the Democrats with a very broad brush, but of course, I think Tulsi Gabbard is interesting enough that we definitely want her to continue in the debates. And so if somebody calls you, if a pollster calls you, say that you like Tulsi Gabbard. Let's keep her in the debates. I've endorsed her, at least for, you know, the Democratic nomination. I think she's a tremendous opportunity, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. You can comment on that, or otherwise, I was just going to ask, there's all this pro-democracy stuff going on in Hong Kong, and Trump has weighed in on it a bit. And, you know, what do you think that Trump or people in the White House or in the CIA, not in the White House, but in the CIA, are fomenting some of this pro-democracy violent protests in Hong Kong as a means of maybe pushing, distracting Xi Jinping so that he'll be a little bit more willing to compromise on trade, perhaps. Last comment. It seems that Hollywood's freaking out because a Chinese actress in a Disney movie has tweeted out her support for the Hong Kong police as opposed to the protesters, and all of Hollywood's freaking out, and there might be a boycott of this movie. Why does Hollywood think it has a dog in this fight? I hand it over to you, Mark.
Excuse me. Well, I guess it gets back to the usual thing. Who controls Hollywood? What's the political agenda there?
It's not the communist Chinese, like Alex Jones keeps saying.
Yeah, that's right. And to me, this gets into something you and I were talking about Tulsi Gabbard before the break, or during the break. Scott Ritter's got a piece out there at truthdig.com, which I found through antiwar.com, talking about
the weapons inspector Scott Ritter.
That's right. Okay. And talking about how Tulsi Gabbard gets some vindication. Whatever one thinks of Gabbard, I personally, of course, I'm not a Democrat, and I don't endorse probably 98% of what she stands for, or what she has said, that's into my worldview, better or worse. But on this, I think she's right on the mark there for the most part.
Ritter's, on the war stuff. Yeah.
On the war stuff, and Ritter has underscored that at truthdig.com. I'll get this up on the big board right as the show ends. It's entitled Tulsi Gabbard Gets Some Vindication. The reason that this particular story is of importance to me is not simply, of course, Scott Ritter's credentials in regard to his background as a UN's weapons inspector and the way which he has so consistently and effectively, in my view, told the truth. He's been proven right about so many of these monstrous things in the last 18 years. But Gabbard on Syria and this issue of who is using those chemical weapons in Syria and false flags, that's what I want our listeners to zero in on that story, and why it's not being discussed in mainstream media, and why they're trying to shut her out of the Democratic Party debates.
And good for her. And, you know, because she's a very attractive young lady, it's hard to ignore her up there on the debate stage. So I think she's a tremendous opportunity for us. Thank you, Mark, for joining me today, and I'll be back in next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.